Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mine.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mine.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 4 of 150. Same old story. The lead up. So, last you heard, I played a session at Ocean's 11 on Monday, January 3rd, 2022. It was called Travel Day because I had flown from Las Vegas to San Diego on this day, worked, and went and played poker. And that's not smart in general, but it is smart to try and hit your goals. And I have a goal of playing 750 hours this year. And that means I got to play when I can play. And it was my third session in as many days of the new year. And it was a very swingy one. And I was exhausted when I went in, but I did take a nap before I went in. And I was up a bunch and ended up booking a moderate W. So started the year off with 3 wins, and I drove back to my granny flat early on January 4th. And I crashed, and I woke up, and I worked over coffee. And then I went and met a member of DGAF community named Chili Dog. We went for a hike. We planned this, and going for a hike is just one of those things. Anytime you do it, you think, damn, this is the best thing ever. It's so good for me physically, good for me mentally. I want to drop some pounds, and I don't know why we don't do it more often, but we're going to try to start organizing more stuff like that in the SoCal Meetups channel on Slack. Committed to that this year. More exercise, better food, and more sleep. And that's my plan, to drop some pounds. Anyways, after that, I got my children. And since I've been losing so much in the wager exchange channel on Slack to Macaroni, he sent me comps. He sent me $120 as comps. Just kind of a thing people do. If someone's winning a bunch, they'll give discounts. Or in this case, he just gave me a little rebate. And so I had $120 to spend. And I had a little time before my kids had basketball, so I drove to Target, and I got a second controller for my son's PS5, and I got a game, NBA 2K, and then I raced my kids over to the gym where they both practice at, and I sweat some games that I fired on this day, and I lost again, but something really cool about this practice, so the gym was very cold on this night. I could see my breath. And I got my son playing on one court. He's not really into it. He is very athletic and coordinated, but ever since Corona started, he hasn't been the same. Where he's not alpha out there, he's a gamer now. And I still want him to get exercise and still learn to be social and all that, so I keep him in sports. And then I got my daughter on the other court, who is slow to develop physically. She's slow to go through puberty, basically. So she's always dominated sports, and now the girls are more developed, but she's still out there going for it, right? So I have her on one court, very into it, wants to get better. She practices all the time by herself. And I have my son, who's just doing it because he has to, right? And I get a FaceTime from my little brother, known in this story of Sessions called Gaff. So I'm D-Gaff, he's Gaff. I interviewed him, I believe, in season 1 or 2, and he's made a few appearances on Sessions, and he's a dad now, and his son is 10 months old, and they FaceTime me, and it was the first time, you know how when babies, there's babies and you don't really like know anything about them. This is the first time I actually got to see this kid's personality. 10 months old, he was just on. This kid was on. He was like putting my little brother in a headlock, this 10-month-old boy, like trying to kiss him, smiling. He was being a fucking ham. It was awesome. And I tried to call my kids over to see it. I was having a really good time. I needed this pick-me-up. And little Fuego, my son, was happy to come over. And he was like, hey, how are you? You know, just like waving and whatnot. And my daughter was like, nah, it's practice time. Sorry, kid. So it was just a really cool, it's a cool memory for me. I haven't met this kid, my nephew, in real life. But I had FaceTime a couple times, and it was just like FaceTiming with a baby. Like, they don't do anything. And this was the first time I get to see this kid's going to be a character, I think. Anyways, practice ended for both children. Went to Ralph's. And I was like, that's another fun thing we do. They both say they hate it, but they always have fun. They ride on one on each side of the cart, or one on the front, and then one in between me and the cart. And we just cruise around Ralph's, and we always have fun. And, then we head back to my granny flat and unload everything. And I cook. And they start playing on the PS5. There's two controllers now. And then we eat, and then I work, and they're still playing. And my head's really hurting on this night. Not only have I been working a lot and traveling, but the decision, I alluded to this in some drop, the decisions that go into a new season, they really weigh on me. Like, they almost make me depressed. At the beginning of 2021, they were really weighing on me. Sound Guy's wife said, you sound depressed or whatever. This year is different, but they just really stressed me out. And I can't tell you how much it means to me to get it right, to get the design right, to get the intro and outro right. I never get any of them exactly how I want, but you just have to go until you can go no more, or that's not even logical or rational, but that's how I feel inside as an artist. This fucking design has to be, I have to keep going, no, and then I'll just know, okay, I something will click, like you're just in no man's land now, you've worked on it too much. Same thing with the intro and outro. This session, this fucking podcast called Sessions is like a third child to me. It's 5 years old now, and I've poured everything I have into it, and I don't know. So, yeah, at this point in the story, still fucking trying to finish that shit. Like, what should we do? What should we do to dot the word Sessions in the new design? The word Sessions is a dragon. Well, what's a dot doing there? And just struggled conceptually and aesthetically. And finally, we ended with the first design the designer came with. So we went to a million different variations of it, and then put it back up there on Slack in the PokerX channel, or maybe it was a Sessions channel, and everyone said, dude, that's it. Leave it. That's the one. And so, yeah. Anyways, we eventually crashed. My kids on their bunk beds and me in my room, and we all woke up on Wednesday, January 5th, and same thing as always. I worked, they played, and kind of did this all day, and I worked on a lot of PokerX stuff, website stuff. I've said that I neglect Poker Eggs during the season of Sessions, which is most of the year. Well, since I was in between seasons and I'm working on intro, outro, template stuff, I also work on Poker Eggs a ton, and I work on the community a ton, and my Patreon page, I have to update that. There's just so much to it. I'm not trying to sound like I'm complaining. I'm just trying to tell the story. And I need to know, I know I need to play a lot of poker. I've said that a few times, right? And so the plan is to drop off my kids and go play poker. And I'm thinking, well, you know, if your head hurts and you're burnt out, work on something else tonight instead of poker. Poker, you want to be fresh. I love when I play fresh. I almost feel like if I show up fresh and sober, I could win like 80% of my sessions. But I just don't have that luxury yet. And so I was thinking about I have other work to do, but as the day wore on, I started to get a little vertigo from staring at my laptop too much screen time. So I knew I had to work that night. Just the idea of working all day and taking your kids back to their mom's house and coming back and relaxing, that's not in the mix yet. That's not something I get to do yet. I hope that's coming, right? Where I just have, oh, you worked all day. Why don't you just chill and watch TV? No, I'm not there yet. I'm still in the weeds like I am every year at the beginning of the year. But hopefully not throughout the entirety of 2022. So I decide, yeah, I can't keep working, looking at a laptop because I already got like some vertigo shit going on. So I'm going to, I'm going to go play poker. So I dropped my kids off at their mom's, and I drove to Ocean's 11, and I got on the list. And there's a 2-5-10 game going, and you've probably heard a million times I've played 2-5, it's 2-5-10. Well, it's already 2-5-10. It's established. Those are the blinds. You don't have to try and get the 10 on. Likely what's going to happen is people are going to put the 20 on, and now suddenly you're playing a fucking big game. And the good news there is that's, you know, your earn rate's higher. The rake is less formidable. The bad news is if you're under-rolled like I am, it's hard to play. Okay, so, you know, whatever. So I get to the bar. I do need to have a few beers for sure. I need to relax and, you know, hopefully they'll call me after like a beer or so and that'll be perfect. And I sit down. I want to watch the NBA. It's on, there are 3 TVs in the bar and the 2 on the far right have the game on, and then the one on the far left has the NFL channel on playing replays and whatnot. And so I go to the far right. There's some people in the middle. I go to the far right, and I want to watch the Warriors. I bet on the Warriors. They're an incredible team. I talked about them in I think it was the first drop of the year. They're just an incredible team, and they're really fun to bet on. It's nice betting on teams that are going to execute, try their hardest, and are well-coached and all that. Well, as I'm watching this game and it's already not going my way, I'm on the far right side of the bar, and there's one seat to my left, and this tweaker lady comes up. She's probably 50. She's got face tats. She's tweaking. I know that. I just know a tweaker, and she comes up and chooses this spot. There's other spots. She could go down at the other end of the bar, and she's going to order food, of all things. So that's fine. I'm hoping, like, you know, her food will come quick, and she'll be gone. And Steph Curry cannot hit a fucking shot on the TV, which is pretty rare, as anyone who's ever watched the NBA knows. That's crazy. He cannot hit a fucking shot. I do love this kid Toscano Anderson on the Warriors. He's playing hard. They're all playing hard. It's not their night. So I'm going to lose this, and I have this lady, and she has music playing on her cell phone, and I'm like, fuck, like, what the fuck? Like, why would, you know, she just doesn't have any, like, social awareness. So she's walked up next to me. She's standing while I'm sitting, and she's tweaking. She ordered food, and she's got a coffee. She asked for sugars, and she has music playing on her iPhone, and I'm hypersensitive young man over here, just like my son, Little Fuego. But I'm thinking, like, it's too uppity to just get up and move. Like, don't be a bitch, right? But I'm also thinking, well, you know, this is kind of, you know, what if she has COVID? Like, you don't really want anyone close to you. And I don't know, she's just stirring her coffee. Like, she ordered some shit. Like, she's tweaking hard. And she's putting sugar in her coffee and sugar in her coffee. And she's just stirring it. And the music's playing on her phone. And finally, she fucking knocks her coffee on the ground. And it splashes all over my LeBrons that I'm wearing. And now I don't feel bad about moving at all. So I go to the far left of the bar. The one TV that doesn't have the game on, it's showing replays of you know, NFL games. And I asked the bartender, can you please put the Warriors game on there? And the guy to my right says, no, we want that football game. And I said, oh man, that's a replay. That's the Chiefs and the Bengals. They played on Sunday. He's like, no, I don't think so. That's live. And I said, no, put the Warriors on. And he doesn't put up too much of a fight. He tells me, at this point, he tells me, I only played 2 hands tonight. And I'm thinking, what? Why are you telling me, you know, why are you telling me this? And he's like, yeah, I just played 2 hands, and I just nod. And he's like, I still think that's live. And I said, man, I will bet you as much money as you want to bet that the Bengals win by 3 points. Like, and you could have every other result. And he's like, I don't know. And he wants to talk to me about how Cardetti was. And I don't, I'm not there for that. No, I'm there to chill. I'm there to have a few beers to get ready to play poker. Isn't that fucking ridiculous? When I was first a poker pro, I would wake up in the morning. I would get on my elliptical machine. I would watch the fucking news. I would work on my game. And that's how I got ready for a day of poker. Now it's, I've worked all day, been with my kids. I need like two beers and like some peace and quiet, maybe sweat a game. And yeah, so not really getting that in this bar. Sometimes the bar's chill, sometimes it's not. This night was the latter. Next thing that happens is some dude comes in with kids, like little kids, 2-3 years old, into a bar. I've seen it there before. It's still early enough in the night where it's not too crazy. But they're being loud. And he's kind of being a dick to his kids. I never even turned around to look. It wasn't like he was beating them or anything. But he's just kind of like being a dick. And they're being loud. And I just can't even... I don't even know what's going on this night, right? And there's one guy that's cool that works there, and I'm like, man, this is fucking mayhem. What's going on in here? And he's like, I know, I just came in here to eat. I can't believe it. And as I'm having this like, oh, okay, finally there's someone, you know, couple, maybe 6 feet away that I'm having a conversation with. Now a security guard comes up, stands right in between us, and now he orders food. And it's like he's shouting it in my left ear, and I can't even believe it. I don't know if I have CTE. I would assume I have some. I had several concussions when I was younger, playing football and you know, riding bikes and getting hit with a baseball bat and so on. And so I also know my temperament. Like my son, if we go to a gym and the referee blows the whistle, he like fucking can't handle it. I know it's a combination of things. I just want it dark and I want it fucking chill and give me a buzz. Well, ask and you shall receive. 4 drinks in, I got a buzz. So I switched over to cocktails after 2 beers. And I was buried in sports when the bartender got the call on her phone. They had a seat open downstairs in the 2510 for Dragon Man. So let me take a sip of this Coke Zero and I'll tell you about the session. One more sip, if sound that cool. All right. The session at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, January 5th, 2022, I sat down in a 2-5-10 game at Ocean's 11. It was officially a 3-blind game. And I brought $2,500 with me. So that's only 250 big blinds. And that can go quickly in a good game. And the game's always going to be good at Ocean's 11. So what do you do when you have 2,500 on you? Yes, I've won the first 3 sessions. I can't tell you how fast money goes when you're in my situation. Anytime you can pay down a little debt, you do. Kids are expensive. Santa Claus billed you. Yeah, a lot of shit happens. And so, you know, it's just, I just have 2,500 with me. Bought him for 1,000. 100 big blinds, okay. But it's also going to be 2, 5, 10, 20, a decent amount. And on those hands, I'm going to have 50 big blinds. So be it. It's just the story. I'm a deep stack specialist, and I can't afford it. So, and hopefully, this is just the beginning of the year. The story's going to change. I'm going to be playing bigger in a month or two. I'll probably have to get staked or get another loan, but I'm going to be playing significantly bigger and deeper, and it's going to, you know, suit me better. But yeah, on this night, I got 2,500. It's 2-5-10, 2-5-10, 20 a lot, buying for 1,000. Okay, and now the former dealer who's made appearances in this podcast, I don't even know if he used to deal, but I think he did, so he's former dealer. He opens, and I call with Queen Jack of Clubs. First hand I play. And it folds around to the retired Marine, also has made several appearances in this podcast. He makes it $200 out of position. Former dealer calls. I call. We got 600 in there. Yeah, I put in 200 with 800 behind, but it just went down that way. And this was a 2-5-10-20 hand. And it came queen 7-6 two hearts. I had queen jack of clubs. So top pair, good kicker. They checked to me. I bet 300 with 500 behind. The retired Marine calls and the former dealer folds. I feel like I have the best hand here a huge percentage of the time. And I just feel a little unsettled. And it has a lot to do with only having $2,500. You can have a short session at 2-5-10 game that's 2-5-10-20 a lot when you only have 2,500. And I just had this icky feeling, and part of it probably had to do with Steph Curry not being able to make a shot and how weird the bar was and the downswing I'm on in sports. You swing up and down, and when you're swinging down, you feel unlucky. When you're swinging up, life's easy and it's fun. I had an icky feeling, and I bet 300, though, because I rate to have the best hand. And he called, and I thought, I'm going to win this pot. The turn's a 5, so queen 7-6, 2 hearts, turn offsuit 5. He 3-bet preflop out of position. I don't expect this card to matter much for his hand. And I honestly just don't know what he has. And he checks, and I have 500, and I ship. And, the pot was 1,200, and I just ship 500, and he snap folds. So I have no idea. I have no idea what he had. Just none. Maybe did he have ace-king? Possibly. I don't know. Because he called 300, and the turn didn't do anything, and I bet 500 into 1,200, and he just snap folded and left. I don't know. Probably had ace-king. But I'm up $700 right away. And that's nice. I felt icky when I sat down. And that icky feeling is not good. If you don't need to play poker and you ever get that icky feeling, get up. Fucking get up. I'm not saying you know that you're going to run bad. But if you feel like you're going to run bad or things are going to go bad, get up. Just, it's not worth it. You're going to play worse. You're going to be readable. You're going to be impatient. Anyways, I felt like I was going to get stacked on that first hand, and I won 700. So, yeah, sometimes that feeling is not right. And it's just a weird feeling that some old school gamblers get. And fucking guess what? I'm an old school gambler. So, I missed my straddle. I didn't know that we were all straddling. So, I didn't know it was people were playing 2, 5, 10, 20. And so, I just opened ace queen to 30. And is this a good play? It's not. I'm just not going to be opening in early or middle position very often in games like this, but I just did, right? And this really cool lady called, and it came 9-6-3. So it's just her and I, and there's like, $80 in there. And 9-6-3, I have ace queen. I check, she checks, and I think she plays pretty straight up. I don't know much about her. But the turn comes a 3 for 9-6-3-3, and I had opened with ace queen, and I feel like the read was I got the best hand. So I bet half pot, $40. And she called. And when she called, I don't know why, just because I played so much poker. I know she has overs. The river's a jack. I had ace queen. I opened. She called. 9-6-3. Check, check. Turn 3. Okay, I'll bet half just to, if she wants to suck out, she's going to have to pay. And river's a jack. I check. She bets. And I said, you river to jack, huh? And I folded. And she said yes. And she seemed sincere. So I had a good read. I got unlucky. Big deal. I'm still winning. And then someone opens. I have queen 10 suited. I 3-bet, and I take it down. Okay. And now I do straddle. I do put the 20 on. I didn't know before. Well, I know now. And the lady limps, and the former dealer limps. She limps. She open limps, and the former dealer's in the blinds. And I just check jack 5 offsuit. And it comes 10-10-9. And he checks, and I decide to lead here. It's... obviously, I don't have any equity with jack 5 on 10-10-9 if I get called. But I just decided to, lead here. It's not the end of the world. And she called. Okay, so I might try and barrel. Well, now the former dealer raises. And it's 10-10-9 with 2 hearts. He raises. And when he raises, I know he doesn't have trips. And I already knew she doesn't have trips. And of course, I have all the trip combos in my range. And so from that viewpoint, I should continue. I should re-raise or I should at least call. But then again, I'm thinking, what the fuck? I'm at Ocean's 11 and this lady's recreational player with plenty of money, and this guy's, he's kind of a new pro, but like not smug at all, and people know me, and so like, no, I don't get to. It's like my friend Pete said in 2008, and I've told this story a million times, and now this is going to make it a million and one, and I'll give a very short version. This guy, to this day, is one of the top five No Limit Hold'em players I've ever played against. He had everything. He'd do the math super quick. He could read people. He could disguise what he was doing. He didn't really tilt. He was patient. He had everything. And then 2008, when poker was still super easy, he couldn't win. He was talking about buying a yacht in 2007. He was... Or maybe it's 2009 that he couldn't win, but whatever. One year he's talking about buying a yacht. I know he was stuck in traffic from Vegas to San Diego, and he tried to call a helicopter. He was bawling out of control, and then one year he couldn't win, and he ended up staying with me before I even had LMF in Vegas. And then he eventually, for a year, he couldn't win and said, fuck this. He went to the abyss, and he's the one that said, on his way down, when I was sitting at a table in a spot like this, where you read it correctly. Okay, I put the 20 out there because it's my straddle. And I checked because Jack 5 also is a dog shit hand. And I don't have a good image. And it comes 10, 10, 9. I can bet here because I have all the 10s and they don't. And it's just, it's debatable, but doesn't matter. And then when she calls, I think, oh, she's weak. She has like, it's 10, 10, 9. She has a 9. She's a 9. She's a fucking 9 or like a pair of 7s, something like that. And then this guy check raises 10, 10, 9, 2 hearts. He has like queen jack or hearts or something. And the poker player inside of you, the hand reader wants to say, well, it's a limp pot. There are 2 10s out there. And you have a bluff catcher and you have a draw. And I should be able to win this hand. I don't get to. These people know who I am. And this guy, I'm not deep, and this guy can gamble with his draw, and I folded. And so that was just it was kind of an important spot. It's exactly what my friend Pete was saying. Just because you know what they have, he said, he did something like this, and then he lost. The guy just called him and said, just because you know what they have doesn't mean you get to win. And he's exactly right. I know what they have. I don't get to win. I just have to fold, take my medicine, and move on. And he had this, she had a 9, and this guy had a King 4 of hearts. So he flipped. I knew the hand, but it was frustrating to me that I had to fold. It shouldn't be. It's just poker. It's if your image sucks and people are sticky, you don't get to do this stuff. But when you just are working all the time, and maybe when you bet on the Warriors and Steph Curry couldn't make a shot, and some tweaker was putting 9,000 packets of sugar in her coffee, and finally it spilled all over you, and then some other guy told you that he played 2 hands, and the security guard ordered dinner in your ear. Maybe all that stuff's adding up and you've been working too much and you didn't get to take that vacation at the end of the last year that you thought you were going to. I don't know. Okay. So I waited a little bit and I have King 4 offsuit and I love that hand. And someone opens and everyone seems weak. So I just 3-bet really big and I take it. And I don't know. I don't care. I know a lot of people listen to this. I have to play at Ocean's 11 for the next month or two. Then I have a feeling I'm only going to be playing at Hustler in Los Angeles, pretty much. And I'm going to be playing much bigger, 10-20, 10-20-40 usually, I think. So, yeah, I know. I'm preventing myself from winning pots by saying that I 3-bet huge with King 4 offsuit. But it's just, I'm telling the story. It's fine. People listening play there. Yeah, you'll get me, sure, but I don't know. It worked. And next thing I do is, now it's a limper, and now I just raise with ace, deuce of diamonds. Squeeze it up there. You're happy to take it down pre. If not, you got a good hand. And lady defense, she can have all kinds of hands here. And I flopped absolutely nothing, and I turned absolutely nothing. But on the turn, when she checked, after I checked, she checked. I just realized she was trying to get to showdown with like a pair of threes or something. And it was like 9, 7, 6, 4. And the river's a jack. And this lady's not easy to bluff. But I just knew that like that was the... She couldn't call. I had to overbet. I knew that. If I bet anything else, she's going to call. I had to overbet a lot, but that's the only way I could win the pot. But I just knew she wouldn't call the overbet, and she didn't. She folded what I assume was a little baby pair she was trying to get the showdown with. And I don't know, it was a pretty good play. And so this session's a lot of fucking stealing, and a lot of them are. That's forever going to be the exploit in live poker, I'm pretty sure. Maybe not when I start playing in LA again. Then it'll be just play good hands. I'm not very good at that. I'm going to have to work on just play good hands. So next note is whiff for days. Nothing right. Exactly. Easy. All right, so the next hand, I don't really love how I played. It's 2-5, 10-20, and I open 9-8 of diamonds to $60. And I'm in middle position, so it's debatable. Sometimes if you think you can get position, you'll be in spots where you know, no matter what, I'm getting called behind. Well, in those spots, I don't want to be opening. But it's close, and I decided to open. That part was fine, and it was multi-way action, so it didn't work. I got the lady called behind, and, you know, everyone in the blinds. There were four blinds. They all called. And so I have 9-8 of diamonds, and it comes 5-3 deuce with two diamonds. And they check to me, and they're always going to check to the preflop raiser. That's just – that hasn't changed yet in poker, or live poker at least. And so they check to me, and I bet here with my two overs and a flush draw. It's debatable. Everything's debatable. I think it's worse than checking. I just do. I think checking's better here. And even though I have most of my opponents on my right, I'm in position against four of them, and I got one behind me. And anyways, I bet, and the woman folds, and then one of the blinds is a recreational dude, this really cool Asian dude calls, and then the former dealer check raises. Okay. And when he check raises, I know he has a made hand. He might have ace four. He could have a set. He could have two pair. And I call in position with 9-8 of diamonds on 5-3 deuce, two diamonds. And quickly, we have $2,000 in the middle. And this is, you know, it's a 10-20 hand. That's not that much, given how many people called pre-flop, and I bet the flop, and he check-raised big. Just by the way he check-raised, I knew it was something he was ready to go all. I just knew 100% it was two pair, a set, or a straight, right? So I called, and the turn came. Nothing right. Unfortunately, yes, that's what it was. And I'm still, if you go back to the first episode of this year, adjustments, they're taking longer than I might have hoped. The adjustment of having a balanced life, not even close yet. No way. That's why this job's called same old story. Going in to play poker after you've worked too hard, too many days in a row, and you're on edge, and you just lost in sports. Well, that sounds a lot like fucking last year. And but it's just the way it is until I can kind of dig my way out, till I can get caught up. And you know, I do have my intro and outro done, I think. I don't think I'm making any adjustments to them. And I know I have the design done. And those were huge things for me that kind of were weighing me down at the beginning of the year. But that's why this one's called Same Old Story. And what? The other adjustment is I haven't figured out exactly how I want to do this year. You know, I'm just going to let it be organic, but I do like the idea of a 10 minute or so, 15 sometime lead up, and then tell the story of a session. But I don't need to tell all the action. All I really need to tell you in that last one is I raised with 9-8 of diamonds. Everyone called. We had a bloater. I bet on 5-3 deuce. I flopped two overs and a flush draw. I bet, got check raised, and I had to call. And I really just had one crack at it, and I whiffed, and I had to fold. And there was 2,000 in the middle already. And yeah. And the next note is, so this is more like it. Next note is I defend. I flop a pair, and Preflop Azer checks back. I bet turn. I know I'm ahead. I get called by ace high. The river's an ace. I check, and the player checks back with river top pair. So I'm not running well in this session yet. I ran well in the first hand. I flopped top pair, and I won a nice pot. And whatever game was after the Warriors on this night is not going my way either. I wrote NBA going to hell. And also, I didn't mention when I got my seat, it was the 5 seat, my least favorite seat. I just, for many of you, you probably think, man, what does it matter? I just can't, I don't know. It just sucks. I don't like it. It's, I don't know. When my son's older, he'll be able to explain it. When you're just so sensitive to everything, and that's not just like, oh, you're sensitive, your feelings get hurt. No, I'm sensitive to like light and sound and fucking everything. You just like to be kind of tucked away. And I don't know, this session is, I'm feeling icky still, and I'm losing now in poker, and I'm losing in sports, and you can have nights like that. And I 3-bet 8-7 of diamonds, and I get it through. So I do have a horrible image, but they do fold the 3-bets a lot, and that's not just luck, it's me just picking up on, that's a weak open, right? And, oh, that's a strong open. I'm not 3-betting fucking ace-jack here. That's a weak open. I'm 3-betting almost anything here. And anyways, got through. But I just can't, a lot of card death. I can't get anything going. I play a hand against the awesome Indian dude. I run into the top of his range. I lose a pot there. There's a poker pro talking to the former dealer. And they're having a conversation. And this guy is not in the game. And he's talking to him about poker, and he seems like a nice guy, and it's making my head explode. I'm very grizzled on this night. I felt like I had to work, and maybe that was irrational, but I'm not a fan of people talking poker at a poker table anyways, and now someone not even in the game doing it, it's so bad. They don't realize that it's putting all the recreational players on guard when people are talking strat and all that shit, and I don't know. And then I run into it again, and that was time for a dragon hand. And so we're going to have dragon hands sometimes this year, and that's just when I play a hand like only myself or others who play like me, which is a few lunatics out there. And here it is, and sometimes I'm going to win, sometimes I'm going to lose. I am first to act, and it's just a 2-5-10 hand, so the straddle's off, and I limp with ace-3 of clubs. And this is my plan. This is good. This is correct. Opening here would be stupid. It's limping is much better. And, you know, everyone limps. Great. Who cares? The pot is whatever it's going to be, 50, 60 bucks. And it comes queen-9-5 with one club. I don't flop anything. You know what I mean, I got backdoor nut flush draw and ace high. Checks to the lady, she bets 15. Seems like not a strong hand. And then the cool Asian dude, recreational player, cool Asian dude calls. And it gets back to me. And I limped first to act. And I decide, well, I'm going to rep the old limp with the huge hand thing. Hopefully they pick up on it. And fold. He's super weak. And she might have top pair, maybe a draw. I go to 60. And at 4X. I want it to look strong. And they both call. That's fine. You know, I can bet a lot on a lot of turn cards. It's queen-9-5 rainbow with a club. And I have ace-3 of clubs. And, you know, obviously if the turn's an 8 or a king, I'm not going to barrel. But, or a queen, I'm probably not going to barrel either. Well, the turn is a 6. And now there are two diamonds out there. And now I bet 300. I went check raise with nothing, just because I had that read. And I don't believe this is a spot where just because you know what they have doesn't mean you get to win. I thought maybe because I limped first to act that people give me credit for an overpair and people don't like to go broke and limp pots. And I knew she had, you know, I thought she could fold one pair, and same for him. And the turn puts a flush draw out there, but it doesn't complete the straight draw. And I bet 300. So I have just bet more than the pot. Wow. And she snap calls. She snap calls 300. Queen-9-5, rainbow, turn 6. There are two diamonds. And he folds. The cool Asian dude folds. And the river is a queen. And I check now because she snap called on the turn, very consistent with a draw. And she could have a better hand than that, but usually people, when they snap call, have a draw on the turn. And I check, and she snap goes all in. And it's not that much more. And now what to do with my ace high? What is she repping? Let's hand read this. I limped under the gun, and, you know, because I'm old man now. No, because that's what I'm doing this year. And, you know, some people limped. About five of us went to the flop, and it came queen 9-5 rainbow. And I haven't turned over that many hands, and I'm the under the gun guy, and I check, and she bets $15, and this guy calls, and she's weak, and he's weaker. I don't know exactly what they have on queen 9-5 rainbow, and I check raise to 60. Okay, start repping that over pair. Is it ambitious? Yeah, it is. That's why it's a dragon hand. And it's ambitious, but I plan on following through on unreasonable cards. And they both call. Okay, fine. Someone has Jack 10. Maybe they both do. Who fucking knows? Maybe someone has a queen. Maybe someone has a queen, and maybe someone has Jack 10. Well, now, when the turn is a small card, I bet 300, and she snap calls, and he thinks and folds. So, got one of them out, and a snap call on queen 9-5. She bet small, someone called, I check raised 4x, she called, the other guy called, the turn was a brick, and it did put a flush out there, and I overbet, she snap called, and the other guy folded, and the river is a queen, and the backdoor flush doesn't get there, and I check, and she goes all in, and it's not that much. What, let's play this hand at home, what, or wherever you're listening, at work, or, you know, making love, whatever you guys are doing right now. What does she fucking have? Hand read her hand for me. I decided to fucking call because a snap call on the turn is very often a draw. And who the fuck snap calls an overbet with top pair and then when they river trips, snap goes all in? I will answer that question now. This lady does. She had queen 10 offsuit and to the, most of the table probably looked like I took a bad beat with an overpair. I didn't. I just ran into an anomaly. She's an anomaly. She plays different than 99.9% of the recreational population. She snap calls with top pair, over bets, and then when she makes trips, she snap goes all in. You just don't see that. I'm a hand reader. It's a dragon hand. I lost a big pot. But, you know, I know now that she's an anomaly. If you just play that hand against every recreational player ever, I'm going to run into Jack 10 of diamonds. I'm going to run into King Jack of diamonds. I'm going to run into, you know, Jack 10 offsuit a lot. And my ace high is going to be good. It wasn't against her. Well, that's a dragon hand where I lost, you know, more than anyone on the planet would have. Good for me. Okay. And now they all limp. And I have 8-7 offsuit this time. And I 11 exit. And I just make it 110. And they all fold. And so much of my life is this, is there's 50, 60 out there, I take it. And that's what funds, you know, dusting off fucking $1,000 to some lady with ace high for no reason. Well, it's just going to, you know, she's going to have to steal, you know, 15, 20 of those little limpers. And so I'm getting to it. I can't get anything going. I tally my loss in NBA. It's a big one. And now I limp king, queen. Right, early position, limp it, and it. There's some good players at the table, and it paralyzes them. I see a Patron pro there, and he's just looking like, "What the fuck is that?" I'm gonna limp in early position this year, is what it is, and you know, moving forward, I'm going to do that in many, many games, and so they all limp. That's fine. It comes Jack 9-4, and I check, someone bets 50, and I call. I have two overs and a gut shot, and the turn is a deuce. I check, that person bets, and I fold. Okay, so it's just not going my way, but that's okay. Now, the lady opens, and Cad calls, and Cad is cool Asian dude, and she seems strong here, and I already know, do not try and push this lady around. So I just defend with ace-10 offsuit, and I flop. Nothing. Yes, Kanye, you're a you're learning quick, but why was I so sad? Huh? In the session on this night, I was sad. You ever sad for no reason? Okay. I think it's I'm sad that I'm not rolled to play this game, and I could bust at any moment. That pressure. I think I don't like playing full ring. I don't feel like I can flex my muscles and my poker muscles. You play poker, yeah? Okay. I'm good at poker, but when you don't get any cards, you can't do anything. And also, I'm sad that I think because I've worked too much. I've worn myself out. And I was looking forward to a vacation at the end of last year. I didn't get it. And do you ever get that where you just work too hard, like on an album or something? And then, like, you just have worked yourself too much and you're sad? Okay. Thank you. Sound guy can never relate to me. So I'm glad you're around this year. Yeah. So it's true. I felt sad. I felt icky. I felt sad. And I wasn't like cycling hardcore, but I think, you know, you can work your hardest and you can do it indefinitely. I'm proving that there are going to be times where it's going to catch up to you, where you're going to feel like you have nothing in the tank. And that's what's going on this night. And that's just the story. There'll be episodes where I feel fucking great. And this isn't one of them. It doesn't matter. It's all one long story. I'm sure many of you can relate to it. I'm sure, well, all of you can relate to it if you're being honest with yourselves. Anyways, I'm thinking, well, maybe now that I've got this shit out of the way, the intro, outro, you're probably like, what the fuck? That intro, outro doesn't even sound that great. Well, how could that take so long? Because I obsess over it. And the design, yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I obsessed over it. But that stuff's done, and maybe I will have a more balanced life. I did go hiking, and that was cool, but I haven't been hiking since, and I need to start doing that shit and whatever. I have to fold ace-nine of spades in the blinds because it got raised in 3-bet in front of me, and it feels like the end of the world. And that's when you know you're not chill. And it's best to play poker. Remember relaxed and a little bit crazy? I used to talk about that was the best way. And you know, I'm a little bit crazy to begin with, so I just got to be relaxed. And I wasn't on this night. And when you're relaxed, you have ace-nine suited, and you know it's raised in 3-bet, and you got to fold. Who gives a shit, right? Well, when you haven't got anything going, and you paid off a lady with ace high and a dragon hand, and you've been whiffing, and you know it feels like the end of the world. It's true. It does for me. It did. And now there's a limp and a late ISO by a capable player, and I flat with queen 10 suited, and then it gets limp re-raised. Fucking gigantic, and we all have to fold. And the next word I wrote is fuck. I know I did, but and now there's a guy tanking, a pro. I don't know, never seen this guy in my life, but he's a poker pro, carries himself like a successful poker pro. He's tanking to an all-in against another pro, the Patron pro. So obviously I'm rooting for the Patron pro, right? And it's an easy spot. I didn't follow the action. It's easy where maybe the amount of money, the price you're getting, is it's easy like call or you missed. It's either you missed and you fold or you were bluff catching and you call. And I just felt like it was. And he's taking forever and he's talking his, you know, thoughts. I wish that, you know, like he's enjoying the spotlight and he's like, I'm sorry, guys. And I'm like, yeah, fuck, you should be. And two players say, no, 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 take your time. It's a big decision. And I get it, like, for the game and for the card room, it is. But if you know anything about pot odds and, like, you understand, like, board texture and, like, this and that and this, it's fucking easy. You should fold or you should call, right? You should have known this on the turn. The turn, you're either drawing and you missed, the river was a brick, or you're bluff, and now you just have to call, right? And... you know, they're winning and they're like, take your time. And my best play, no lie, my best play is I got up during this hand. I went to the bar. I was starting to lose my shit. Yep. And I had a beer up there and I regrouped. And then the floor man, you know, came up there, Lonnie, and said, dude, you got to go back to your game. And I said, all right, has that motherfucker called or folded yet? And he looked at me like, you're insane. And I said, here's a red bird. Okay. So now the cool Asian dude, Cad, he limps. I ISO with ace nine off, late position. He limp calls. Flop comes ace high. I decide to check back, and I had my reasons at the time, and the turn was a brick, and he checked, and I just felt like he couldn't really have many hands to call anything with. So I decided I was going to check one more time. It was probably like I had ace nine, and it was like ace six, three, three. And so ace six, three, I checked back, and then three, I checked back. Felt like, you know, maybe he has a hand like queen jack, something like that. Let's hit a jack or queen on the river and get a little. Anyways, the river was a brick, and he bet, and I min raised him, just hoping that he would call with anything. And he called with something. He had ace six. So he flopped. He limped ace six offsuit. I ISO'd ace nine offsuit, and it came ace six three. I checked back. Turn three, I checked back. And then the river is like it was like a jack or something, what I wanted to be. And he bet, and I min raised for value, and he had aces up. Great. And I start tilting. And the next note is no player card. And so at one point, a new dealer came in and said, you have no player card. And I lost my shit. No, I don't have a fucking player card. And I'm a grizzled vet on this night. No question. And more than a grizzled vet, it's not even that. It's just no balance in life. And that's not good. And sometimes it comes out. And sometimes I can just deal with it. I'll just catch a buzz. And if I'm winning, it's fine. And like if there's someone funny at the table, it's fine. None of that shit's going on. It's time for my worst play after a sip of Coke Zero. Awesome Indian dude is on my left, and he opens, and the triathlete pro defends in the blinds, and it's my 20. The 20 is on again. So 2, 5, 10, 20. I'm the 20. He opens first to act, and the triathlete pro calls, and I have king, queen offsuit, and I 3-bet. Why? Bored. Stuck. That's why. Not because I thought it was a good play in for any other reason, but bored and stuck. And yeah, this is the guy that had 10 deuce of spades and opened and called my 3-bet and made a flush not too long ago. And that hand's just in my head. 10 deuce suited, he opened and called and made a flush. Anyways, but this was different. He just opened first act. It's, I don't know. He was playing differently on this night. And I had king, queen, and they both called, okay? And it came ace, king, X, three diamonds. I had the king and a queen of diamonds. So I flopped second pair and nut flush draw and triathlete pro checks. I check and awesome Indian dude bets. And he seems pretty strong, but, you know, he plays enough to not give away his hand strength all the time. And I have second pair in the nut flush draw. It's an obvious call. It's an easy call. But the pot's big now, right? Because I 3-bet pre-flop and we're playing 2, 5, 10, 20. And the turn's an X, and I check, and he goes all in, and I have to fold. I decide he can't be semi-bluffing here. I have the queen of diamonds, and I fold, and he shows me ace-king. He's a super fucking nice guy, and he always has the best hand, and it's frustrating. I have $700 left, and I'm also too buzzed to drive. I know that, and I owe my bar tab, too, and I start doing something with my phone that I haven't done in a long time. It's stress coming out. I almost feel like I'm trying to break it. It's been a long time. You long-time listeners are like, not this again. Yeah, this again. A little bit on this night. And it's just too much fucking work, too much stress. I know it. And that's why this one's called Same Old Story. Because this year's going to be different. But part of making changes is having relapses, right? And that's like you have an alcoholic and they quit alcohol, and then one night they get drunk. Well, they shouldn't just give up on their new life, right? It's part of like the recovery process. And I'm not doing that. I'm trying to make adjustments from working way too much and playing poker when I should not be fucking playing poker to playing poker sometimes like that, but often when I'm rested and sober and having some balance in life. Well, same old story on this night. It's a fucking relapse, if you will. And And yeah, I'm trying to break my phone a little bit. And just sitting there with 70 big blinds, sometimes 35 big blinds. You have $700 as a 2, 5, 10, 20 game. It's sad. And you're just looking down at 9 deuce offsuit. And I finally get pocket fives after like folding for 2 orbits, which for me is an eternity. If you have all day to play poker and you don't have fucking 5 other projects and you're not a father of 2, single father of 2, the thing about single father is you do a lot of housework. I've been thinking about that. Like, man, I'm always fucking cooking or cleaning. And anyways, that's a rant. That's okay. It's a tangent. That's also the same thing. You know what I'm talking about. And finally get pocket fives. Thank God I got fucking pocket fives, right? Triathlete Pro opens. I call. And someone else calls. Maybe Cad. Maybe the cool Asian dude. And the flop comes ace-jack-4 with 2 spades. I have pocket fives. And he bets $25, just like a really tiny bet. And I'm in position. I'm going to call. I know his tendencies. He will c-bet like almost 100% really small. And then he usually continues with his good hands and checks his bad hands. And it's probably a very good strategy at Ocean's 11. But anyways, it's almost like he checked. So I put in the $25 and the turn's a 5 because I'm a fucking goddamn luck box. I turned a set, but now he bet 150. And it's just me. And I didn't like this. I didn't like the jump from 25 to 150. I do this with bluffs all the time. But I didn't like it. I just called and then the river made the completed the flush and he bet 200 and I just called. I turned a set and I just called. And just to rewind, he opened in this game and I called, someone else called, and the pot's probably, it's big enough. There's some cheese in the middle. And it comes ace-jack-4, 2 spades, I'm in position. I'm always in position. Even the nights where I'm fucking tired, I'm in position. And I got fives. He bets $25. It's almost like he checked. I call $25. He can have many hands here that I'm actually ahead of. He can have hands that are going to get bluffed. I'm going to be able to figure it out at some point. The turn's a fucking 5 because I complained enough. I turned a set. And I didn't like that he went to 150. I didn't like how he released the chips. This is how I play poker. I didn't like it. His bet on the turn seemed fucking kind of strong. And I just called. And the flush got there and he bet 200. And so I'm not raising when the flush gets there. And it's going to be embarrassing if he has ace king. Well, he doesn't. He had pocket jacks. He flopped middle set. So set over set, I called the little tiny bet on the flop, turned my set, called and called the river. I never thought about raising. At least I did that. I have $300 left. And I did something I don't even know if I did in season 4. I did a walk of shame. And that's, you're sitting there with fucking $300. You've won millions in your life. No joke, are up millions. And you're sitting there with $300 in a 2, 5, 10, 20 game. Man, that's dark. And I did the walk of shame, right? I went to the machine. Then I paid $60 to get out $1,000 more. I did. It's a walk of shame. It's shameful. I don't really believe in it, but in the moment you feel ew. And you put your fingerprint on that fucking pad, and then you put it on the paper, and you're tilting. And how would you like it? And like, go to this window. All right, pose for a picture. You're going on the wall. The fucking D-gen walk of shame. Yeah. And I did that. I got 1,000 more. I'll show these people. And I walk back, and the 7 seat is now open. And I want to get out of the 5. The 5's been draining. So I go from the 5 to the 7, and the dealer says, post. And I didn't know that if you move, like, you hop one player. And I just was like, I will never post. And the dealer's like, okay, I was just asking. And he's just doing his job. I couldn't believe it that you have to post. So I sat out of hand. And then I'm still not deep, right? I got $1,300, and we're playing 2, 5, 10, 20. And the former prop, the fisherman, opens. And he did a quick open. And this is true for, 99.9% of the poker population. A quick open is just not a pair very often. A look down and open while having a conversation, it's just not a pair. I had pocket fives. We're not that deep, right? fucking 65 big blinds deep, I 3-bet. I don't usually like 3-betting with small pairs. I don't mind it here. It's like a tournament stack. And lady called behind me, and this player called Big Dog called. This guy's pretty cool. And the prop called, the former prop. And I pocket fives, the hand I just, you know, lost with, set over set. And it comes King Jack 3, and he checks. I check, and the other two check. And the turn's a king. I mean, sorry, the turn's a jack. King Jack 3, 4 ways. I'm the 3-better. We all check. Turn Jack, he checks, and now I bet. And this is actually my best play, not going to the bar. Why is it my best play betting with fives on King Jack 3 Jack? Because I fucking guarantee you one of those other fuckers have pocket sixes. If we just get to showdown, someone has a pocket pair better than my fives. They can't call the turn, and I bet the turn. And I'm not repping. Theoretically, I'm not repping much here by checking the flop and betting the turn. But it doesn't matter. I'm repping a poorly played king. It doesn't matter. You play your opponents, and they all fold it. I would bet anything someone had pocket sixes just to really tilt me. Well, we didn't have to find out. And I wrote that cash advance fee got me awake. And it's not even a cash advance. I got the money out of my checking account, but I had to pay $60. Okay. The next note is steal, and the next note is steal. I'm awake now. And here we go for the crucial hand of the night. The former dealer opens. It's just a 2-5-10 hand. It fluctuates. Some player will be like, I don't want to do it. And that's fine. Then it's off. So people are like, oh, you want to do a round? Yeah, it's on. It's off. Former dealer opens the 30. Awesome Indian dude who's now on my right. Before was on my left. I kind of seat hopped him, but it was only to get out of the 5 seat. And he was on my direct left, and now he's on my direct right. He goes to 100, and I look down at 10 deuce suited. The fucking hand this guy opened and called a 3-bet against me with. And I'm awake. I'm ready to play like I play. I've been folding enough. I'm getting a little momentum. Steal. Remember, I had fives and I 3-bet, and then three people called, and it came King Jack 3. We checked. In terms of Jack, I just knew it was a good card to bet, and it was, even though it doesn't make sense on a, you know, your line's kind of horrible theoretically. It doesn't matter. It's a great bet. Took it down, stole again, getting a little momentum, and he 3-bet. Okay, I'm going to cold 4-bet the 10 deuce suited. I have to. This guy, I was thinking about this hand, you know. I've been thinking about this hand ever since he opened and defended against me and made a flush. It's like, what? How do you do that? I don't know. It's not the best thing in the world, but I can win. I'm going to be in position, and it's still strong. When I cold 4-bet, it's still strong. I don't do this very often, and it's just, like, poetic to me that I got the 10 deuce suited. And it folded back to him, and he called. Okay, so now we got about $750 out there. I have 10 deuce, right? And it comes 7-5 deuce. And he checks, and I bet $200. And I could have the best hand here. He could have big aces. And whatnot. I know he has a good hand. But I could have the best hand here with bottom pair. And I have a backdoor flush draw. I could turn trips, or river trips, or two pair. And he calls the $200. So now we have $1,150 in the pot. And I can also, once he calls, I know he has a big pair, right? But he doesn't have aces or kings. So I could win on a 10. A deuce, I can make a backdoor flush draw, or I could win on an ace or a king. But he has like queens or jacks or maybe tens, but I block tens, and he could have like nines or eights, right? And the turn, because I'm a fucking baby and babies get rewarded, is a 10. So I turn top and bottom. And you know you're playing some fucking street poker if you have top and bottom on 7-5 deuce 10. And I did, and I know he's got, I know he has either jacks, queens, nines, or eights, and I'm hoping it's jacks or queens because he did 3-bet, so it's more likely jacks or queens than nines or eights. And I bet half pot, 575, and he calls. And I'm thinking, you know, there's 2,300 out there, and I have a perfect stack to shove on the river. I'm thinking, don't put an ace or a king, because then I'm going to have to just value bet, like bet less than my stack. But I have a great stack for shoving. The cards I was going to bluff on before, obviously I don't want to use those for value by shoving. I was going to shove bluff. Well, no, if that card comes, I can still value bet my two pair, but I just have to do it, you know, more moderately. And but more than that, I don't care. There's already 2,300 out there. Just don't fucking counterfeit me. And I just know, by the way he calls the 575, that he's got jacks or queens. And I got, you know, that icky feeling still. I've had it all night. I've been sad. And the icky feeling doesn't mean anything about the river card. The river card on, let me rewind this real quick, is, I'm getting some momentum after the walk of shame, paying $60 and whatever fucking fee. And I had 1300 and then I three bet with fives and I delayed C bet on King Jack, three Jack. And okay, now I have some chips that I stole. Okay, there's some more chips. I stole again, more chips. And I decided to cold four bet 10 deuce suited because it was against some guy who opened 10 deuce against me. And whatever, it was just time. I was in position, and he called. And I have several ways to win pots. You can make the best hand. I'm not the best at that always, but I am good at figuring out when they can't call. And anyways, I flopped a pair, 7-5 deuce. He checked. I bet small, and I bet 200 into 750. He called. We got 1150, and I turned to 10. And I bet half, 575, and it's setting up a nice shove. I probably have, you know, 1500 behind or something, or no, less than that, but setting up a nice shove, maybe 900 behind, and there's 2,300 out there, and I had that icky feeling, right, all night, but I'm thinking, you know, that doesn't mean shit. Well, the river was a 7 for a board of 7-5 deuce, 10-7, and suddenly, I improved from 10s and deuces to 10s and 7s, but I am fucking deflated. He checks, and I don't have fold equity. I was going to get the double up. And instead, I check after getting counterfeit, and he has pocket jacks. And you know, I was 82% on the turn with 2,300 out there. And that still means a lot to me at this stage of my comeback. It does. And just that icky feeling is bothering me. And I start losing my shit a little bit. I just am saying, like, of course you win this hand. Of course you win this hand. And I'm not proud of that at all. And as a pro, you shouldn't do this. I wasn't being mean. I had to vent. That's what it is. When you're too wound up, too stressed, you start to act a little bit mentally ill. And back when I did Adderall, that would mean I would carve a fucking ravine in my forehead at the table. Just so much fucking tension and stress. Well, then I don't do Adderall anymore. So then it's like you start to break your phone a little bit, like try and like twist it. And I start to scratch my head a little bit, not to like draw blood, but it's just not cool. It's not good. It's the same old story of if you've been on this ride since the beginning, I've dealt with a lot of frustration and a lot of this, just, you know, not being the opposite of fresh, just work too hard. And that's how you have to let it out somehow. And I'm ranting a little bit and doing that. And I know I should leave. And so I'm going to leave. And now it's 2-5-10, and I raise the middle. It folds, so it folds to me, and I raise. And some dude calls, some new guy calls, and I flop top pair, and I bet, and he calls, and I know he has ace high, and I just knew it. And the turn was an ace, and I checked, and he checked, and the river, I checked, and he bet, and I folded. And then it folds to me in the small blind, so small blind, big blind, and. Or small blind, middle blind, big blind. And I 6X'd, and I flopped a straight draw with king, queen, and I just lost the top pair. I just check called, and then turn was a horrible card, and I just, you know, lost the top pair, and I couldn't take it. And I played for 4 hours, and I lost more than my car is worth.
Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF poker player and sign up to become a patron today.